employees' names, addresses, phone numbers, and email addresses. Google argues the request violates the Fourth Amendment protection against unreasonable searches.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson at the G7 summit in Italy, and Tillerson expected to press Russia to rethink its support for Syria's president. The foreign ministers from major industrialized nations meeting in Italy today, and they're expected to have Syria as a major topic. Tillerson said the U.S. will hold to account, quote, any and all who commit crimes against innocence. USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then U.S. Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
Some very good news out of a bad situation in Phoenix as an 8-month pregnant woman involved in a car accident able to survive, and the baby's alive as well. Here's Jason Campidonia.
The mom was 8 months pregnant when she and three of her kids were involved in a 3-car pileup Sunday afternoon. The mom had to be pulled from the car by first responders and was rushed to a nearby hospital in critical condition. The baby was delivered by emergency C-section, and its condition has not been released. The mom suffered broken bones in both of her legs and one in her arm. Her other kids are expected to be okay. The cause of the crash is under investigation. Jason Campidonia, Phoenix.
Legislators in Georgia have passed a bill that's angering quite a few people. Here's Mark Mayfield.
The Georgia House and Senate approved the bill that would make saying, "So help me God," during government oaths optional. If Governor Deal doesn't sign the bill, it will become law anyway. If he chooses to veto it, a 2/3 vote in each house would be needed to override it.
It was a day of celebration for a man who showed, if you keep fighting, eventually you'll accomplish your dream. Sergio Garcia won the 2017 Masters Tournament. The Spanish golfer got past England's Justin Rose in a sudden-death playoff yesterday to get his first green jacket. Garcia shot a 3-under-69 in yesterday's final round, but missed a birdie putt on the 72nd hole to force the playoff. Garcia has been on the PGA Tour for just over 18 years and has never won a major tournament until yesterday. USA Radio News.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Good afternoon. This afternoon's weather is going to be sunny with a high near 79. Wow. Southwest winds 11 to 14 miles an hour. Tonight's going to be partly cloudy with a low around 51. South winds 3 to 8 miles an hour. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 81. Summer is here. Southwest winds 3 to 8 miles an hour. But Tuesday night's going to be a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, but it'll be mostly cloudy with a low around 55. Be southwest winds around 6 miles an hour, and the chance of precipitation is 20%, so it's not that high. Wednesday, a chance of showers mainly before 2 p.m. Then it'll be partly sunny with a high around 70. Light west winds increasing to 5 to 9 miles an hour in the morning, and a chance of precipitation is 30%. Wednesday night will be mostly clear with a low around 43. Thursday will be mostly sunny with a high near 64. And Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low around about 43, it says.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. This is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce. And NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Huntington County, we're all volunteers. We have no office, no paid staff. We work out of our houses. And as someone once told me, at least you don't have a traffic jam going from the living room to the dining room and stuff. And they're right. We don't. But what we do is we try to help people who either have someone in their family or know someone or work with someone who has a mental health issue. And we do it in various ways. One of the ways we do it is we teach a 12-week family-to-family class for folks who have someone in their family or know someone, like I said. And what we do is we go over medications, side effects, what to do, what not to do in certain situations, what to say, what not to say. And in general, we try to get the class to realize what it's like to be someone who has a mental illness. We also have support groups. You don't have to be a member of NAMI to come to the support group. You don't have to be a member of NAMI to go to the classes. But the classes you have to register for. The support group, you can just come. It's on the third Thursday of every month in Flemington at 52 East Main Street. And we also have what they call a basics class, which is for families who have young children who have mental health issues and anxiety and et cetera. Anybody 18 or under. And what we do is we also go around and give talks and so on and so forth. If you'd like some more information or have some questions you'd like answered, you can call us at 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We do not have an operator manning it 24/7, but we promise you, we have someone that checks it at least twice a day, and we will get back to you within 24 hours. That's, we promise. We are very privileged to have with us today Glenn King, who is the Executive Director of Freedom House, and Dawn Nill. I said it right, right? All right.
Yes, you did.
And Dawn is the CFRE, which you can explain that to me after, Director of Marketing and Development at Freedom House. All right, Dawn, I'm going to ask you, what is a CFRE?
So a CFRE is a certified fundraising executive. So much like if you were an accountant and you were going to sit for the CPA exam, that's what the CFRE is. You have to be in the business for at least 5 years, and then you sit for an exam, and that's how you get those credentials.
We were talking before, and I said I do the radio show after this for the medical center, and some of the people that come on here, they got more initials after their name that, you know, I say, all right, what does that stand for? What's that one stand for? So I had to ask because I didn't know what it was. So well, I have to welcome both of you. We're very privileged that you took the time to come and speak with us, and I ask this of everybody, so don't feel I'm picking on you, but Glenn, how did you get in this line of work? Now, I have people say to me sometimes, oh, something happened when I was 15 and I went on and that's why I got to do this. Others, which is pretty much like me, well, I have a house, mortgage, 4 kids, car payments, insurance, real estate taxes, so I took a job. And I'm here 15 years later. So I'm just curious because it's just a thing for me that, you know, how did you get into this job?
Well, it's been a process, that's for sure. But I am a person in long-term recovery myself from substance use disorders,
okay.
25 years. And
God bless you.
I am also a graduate of the Freedom House program. So I'm going to just give you the shorter version, you know, a few bumps and bruises, a couple of degrees and credentials. I have become the executive director of Freedom House. I went through the program back in 1990. I came to the program on Christmas Eve of 1990, where my predecessor, Fred Real, picked me up on Christmas Eve and brought me out of the Morris County Jail into Freedom House as a resident. And so I sort of worked my way up the ladder as a resident. I drove for a while. I was a driver. From a driver, I became a counselor. From a counselor to senior counselor to clinical director, and I took over the organization executive director in 2014.
That's awesome. It's something you should be very proud of. I mean, I'm serious. I'm not just saying that because, you know, you know, I just think it's awesome.
I sort of ran for a while, the first couple of years. I had just been in the military for 8 years, and at the end of my military career, when it came to to an end, I was without a job, and I was, you know, had a drug problem at the time, and drinking, and they said that, hey, listen, you make a good counselor. So I said, oh, yeah, I kind of blew it off, but I guess God has his way of having his way, so this is what I do.
That's awesome. Dawn, it's your turn. How'd you get into this?
I don't have as exciting of a story as Glenn does.
All stories are exciting.
Well, I've been a fundraiser for over 20 years, and I like to say I'm a people person, and I think that's why I love what I do. And I've been at Freedom House for just a little more than 2 years and was recruited by a firm to come and help them with their fundraising. Knew nothing about addiction at the time, but I have a wonderful teacher. You know, Glenn has taught me a lot about the field, and you know, I rely on him a lot for marketing and development in the field so that I know what words to use, what language to use, things like that. So I feel blessed to be here.
Yes, that's awesome. You know, and I'm sure that Freedom House is happy to have you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you know,
I rely on her as well.
Just the last 10 minutes talking to her, I could understand that, you know, that you'd be happy to have her.
Thank you.
Okay, now, for those of us who, or some of us who may not know exactly what Freedom House is and does, Glenn, can you tell us what is Freedom House and
Serves? We're a nonprofit organization. And we're not just a single program, Freedom House, like we were years ago. We have an array of services that's geared toward those who are affected by substance use disorders and mental illnesses. Primary focus has been treating those with substance use disorders, but in the past years, we've also had a lot of folks who have come through who have not only substance use disorders, but mental illnesses as well. So we treat what you call co-occurring.
Right.
It's when you have the substance use disorder and the mental health issue at the same time, and we treat one as a primary and one as a secondary, but we treat them both together. We have a 44-bed facility located in Glen Garden, New Jersey, which is an inpatient facility. That is for men. The men, they live there for a period of about 6 to 9 months. You have to work and maintain full-time employment while you're in that program. And when you finish after 6 to 9 months, you can go to what we call a transitional living house. We have two transitional living houses for men, one located in Glen Gardner, which is approximately a half a mile from the halfway house.
And then
we have a transitional living house in Morristown as well for men. Now, the transitional living programs is so that when you complete the program, maybe you don't have quite enough money saved up to go into independent living, or maybe you're just not quite as stable and you want to live in maybe a peer-driven environment. So we have peers living in our transitional living house who are graduates of the program. And you can live there for approximately 6 months, sometimes longer. Sometimes we have to come and give the guy the boot because he kind of get a little comfortable, you know. But the idea is for you to become further stable in the transitional living house and then move towards independent living. Then we have an outpatient program that has been open, going strong for about a year now in Clinton, New Jersey. And that's for people in the community as well who need outpatient services. Maybe you need services that you need treatment, but you can't afford to give up your job. Maybe you're in school, but you need substance use or treatment mm-hmm. for your mental illness. So we offer it on an outpatient basis and intensive outpatient. The difference is one is more intense than the other. And then we also have a program for women and children, which is located in Trenton, New Jersey.
Okay.
That program is a transitional living house for women and children, but it offers intensive case management. And these are women who had a substance use disorder. Maybe at one point they had a case with the Division of Youth and Family Services,
right.
and they're about to lose their children. So we go in and bring the mom to the house, and that mother usually had been sober for a period of time, and we're permitted the child will be living with the mother. And the whole idea of that program is to reunite that family and hopefully allow the mother to regain her parental rights. And we've been, for the right. most part, very successful in doing so. The other program that we are currently working on is in Phillipsburg, New Jersey. We hope to be open an outpatient program. We have secured the building. We have submitted the application to the state of New Jersey Division of Mental Health and Addiction Services to license that program.
Mm-hmm.
We're hoping that that outpatient program will be open the 1st of June.
That's awesome. How did this program, Freedom House, get started, and who started it?
There was a gentleman by the name of Terry Harrod. He was the founder of Freedom House, and that was over 31 years ago. When we first started out, the Freedom House was a one building. We had one wing in a single building that's located on the grounds of Hagedorn. And I think when they first started out, we started off with two residents. So now we have, in that same building, after renovations year after year, it's been a process renovating, and now we have 44 beds in that program.
In that program. Now, when you go in, is that the whole ground floor there then? I have been up in Hagedorn many times. So.
Yeah, it's on Hagedorn. No, it's actually, it's several buildings on the grounds of Hagedorn.
Okay.
One of the buildings that we occupy is 200 Sanatorium Road. That building at one point, when they had the tuberculosis outbreak some time ago,
mm-hmm.
that was the nurses' quarters for the nurses that helped treat the tuberculosis.
Okay.
The people who had tuberculosis.
Right.
And when they had found the cure, of course, all the buildings were abandoned.
Sure.
And I think when the guys were cleaning up back then, they found all types of sorts of things that they were using for treatment. They cleaned the building up, renovated it. And now we have a wonderful 44-bed facility.
Wow. That's awesome. Now, could you describe a little more in detail the halfway house services as opposed to the long treatment care?
Right. Okay, well, the halfway house services is basically, I consider it like on-the-job training on how to live a life on a daily basis. Okay, we teach the guys, first of all, you have an individual counselor. Every person has a primary counselor. And you meet with your counselor individually once a week. There's group sessions. There's didactic sessions. We take the guys out to 12-step recovery meetings 4 to 5 nights per week. We take them to work. We pick them up from work. Each man has to contribute towards their treatment fees, at least mm-hmm. $50 a week towards their treatment fees. They have to save money. So the whole idea is to have enough money saved up after you graduate to hopefully get either your independent living or go into one of the transitional living houses. What we teach at the halfway house is basic living skills, how to cook, how to clean, how to do a budget, you know, how to live a simple life,
right.
Being responsible. We also teach coping skills to deal with your addiction. So when you go out, you have your coping skills, you got your basic living skills, and you go out and hopefully live a productive life. One of the things we say at Freedom House, we take what were tax burdens and make taxpayers out of them. So we have to teach our men to go out and work and maintain, pay taxes just like anyone else and be responsible.
Right. Do you find, this is just off the top of my head now, do you find that you have a number of patients who, or clients, whatever you want to call it, who relapse?
Unfortunately, relapse is a factor. It does happen. we have a, for those who complete the program, our relapse rate is a lot lower if you go through all phases of the program. Freedom House is a tier program, meaning there's different tiers, different phases.
Right.
And we have phase one, phase two, in the halfway house. And when you finish, and within phase one, there's tier one and tier two, and then you can move on to phase two of the program. For those that complete both phases of the program, graduate the program, and then go on and complete our transitional living house and stay connected, we have like a 90 plus percent percent rate of success.
Well, that's awesome. That's a big high rate.
It is.
You know, when you stop and think about how many people, because dealing with NAMI, like I do, we see a lot of people whose loved ones, sons, daughters, whatever, young adults who are onto drugs or alcohol and or both and also have a mental health issue and have been diagnosed. And, you know, it just, as a parent, you just, what do I do? You know, it's like they're an adult and they're not going to listen half the time, or they're, you know, or they will sometime and not others, and, you know, vice versa. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say that their loved one came out of the hospital and a week later stopped taking the drugs and went back to, you know, stopped taking the medicines, not drugs, but medicines, and then went back into drugs and alcohol. And it's like, you know, and they can't understand why. And a lot of times in the class, when I teach family to family, I'll say, have you ever gone to the doctor and you had some kind of an infection or something, and he gave you antibiotics and told you, make sure you take them twice a day for 10 days. How many take them for 10 days? Raise your hand. Out of maybe 20 people, two may raise their hand, you know. All right, the rest of you 18, why didn't you take it? Well, I felt better. Well, I'm not saying that's always the reason, but a lot of times when somebody comes out of the hospital, that's why they stop taking the meds and, you know, go back to their former life, because they feel better. Not comprehending that they have to continue to take the drugs to feel better, you know. But so I was just curious, you know.
Well, I can tell you that it's no different with the substance use disorders. When do people normally stop doing their regular routine is when they start to feel better. When they think that, well, I'm doing okay now, maybe I'll stop going to meetings, maybe I won't call my sponsor.
Right.
And then you get complacent, and then the disease has its way, and before you know it, you're back into the same cycle of addiction again.
Right.
It's
right.
A process. Relapse is a process. You stop doing a little bit here and a little bit there, and before you know it, you're doing all the wrong things instead of all the right things. But that's why structure is so important. That's why we have the different various levels of care, the halfway house, the transitional living, the outpatient program. Notice I said for those who successfully complete all of those phases of program and continue to do what they're supposed to do, then the success rate is much higher.
Right.
But unfortunately, right, there are those misfortunes who do relapse, and we treat relapse as part of the process. We bring people can come back, and we'll look at the triggers of relapse, see if we can't enhance the overall recovery of that person by dealing with the triggers of relapse. Okay, what'd you do wrong? Okay, I stopped going to meetings. Okay. Do you recognize your warning sign? Do you recognize those things you stopped doing? So getting that person to recognize those triggers, those things that they weren't doing, and over to in order to enhance the overall recovery process.
Right.
And I'll tell you, you know, I was definitely not a first-time winner, but I got to the point where, you know, consequences of my life, and I had a meeting with Glenn, and says, you know, which way are you going to go? You know, what are you going to do? So I made up my mind that I was going to just do the things that Freedom House taught me to do.
Right,
and
right.
It's been a blessing.
I imagine it has. You know, you've come a long way. And, you know, it, not to use it as a coexisting, but like with me, I started smoking when I was 11, I think. And I smoked and smoked and smoked. And I can't tell you how many times I quit. You know, New Year's Eve was always a big one. I quit, you know. New Year's Day, I always started smoking again, you know. But when they put me on an operating table, tilted me upside down, I had my head pointing towards the floor, and they scraped my vocal cords of polyps, and they told me that was the only time they could do it. The next time they had to take them out. And with my big mouth, I can't imagine talking through a, you know, speaker in my throat. So I quit. But it's certainly not easy. And I understand, you know, they consider smoking as an addiction also.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, it's not like, I know I can't compare it to drinking because I never had a taste for alcohol. I always smoked. But, you know, it's just, I would imagine it's similar. Now, I want to say I'm not saying it's, you know, better, worse, or whatever, but it's similar. And having gone through it myself with the addiction, having an addictive personality, that's why I don't go to Atlantic City or Bethlehem, you know, because I could lose my house down there. Right. You know, I'm playing blackjack. But, you know, I do play solitaire on a computer, though. You know? So that's okay. Dawn, I understand that Freedom House is nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, we are.
So everything that we're talking about is obviously cost money.
That's right.
Okay. Where does your funding come from?
So last year,
besides your job, where you have to get
it. That's right. That's right. So last year, our budget was just a little under $2 million. So it's not a large, considered right. a large nonprofit by any means. But about 66% of that $2 million comes from funding through the state and the county.
Through okay? grants and...
Through contracts, fee-for-service,
okay.
Through like drug court
right.
And,
right.
and things like that. And then about 10% comes directly from clients. So that left last year about 24% for the fundraising efforts. So when you look at, you know, in this day and age client financial climate, the uncertainty of, you know, where is the county and state money coming from, we need to get that 24% up higher. So that's the importance of the fundraising efforts. So we're trying to increase those efforts by raising awareness, writing some more grants. We do 4 fundraisers a year to try to raise awareness and raise money. But we're also trying to grow our individual donor base because that's where we're going to have some more stability. Mm-hmm. Because we don't know if that county and state funding is going to be forever. Is it going to stay at that same level? Where if you have a relationship with an individual donor, like, you know, you and me, Larry, right? We can talk about what's going on. What's your relationship right. with the organization? You know, can you make us one of your top 3 charities? And write us a check at the end of the year or anytime during the year when you normally do your fundraising. So that's what we're looking. That's the reason why I was brought on, to try to diversify the fundraising. But we do have a 5K coming up on
you
May.
You want to talk about it?
I
go right
do,
ahead.
I
Jump
do.
On it.
I do. So that event is, this will be the 4th year we're doing this 5K.
Okay.
It's a run or a walk. You don't have to be a runner
in
to attend.
In my case, I'd have to crawl. But
it's all right. We're going to have a few. We could put you in a nice wheelie chair and push you around. That'll work. So that's on Saturday, May 13th. So it's the day before Mother's Day. So a great way to come out with the family, with your mom or your grandmom or your grandkids or your kids, and, you know, just have a great time. It's going to be at Spruce Run.
All right.
You know?
Yeah.
Local, beautiful run or walk along the beach. Right. And we're going to have some vendors there as well that are associated with the health field. So the people that maybe are cheering on their loved ones for running and walking could, you know, visit some of those vendors and learn some things about other health agencies in the community. Rita's Ice actually is going to be there, so there'll be free Rita's Ice
yeah.
for everyone who is walking, running, or supporting. The race check-in begins at 8 a.m., the race begins at 9:30, so we'll be over well before noontime, so still plenty of time to enjoy the rest of your Saturday. So you can sign up on our website, so that's freedomhousenj.org, and just click on special events, and you can sign up right there online. It's $30 for an adult, $10 for children 6 to 12, and anyone under 5 is free. So we encourage you to pre-register so we can get you a T-shirt, because everyone will get a T-shirt. If you do register the day of, it will be $35. The children's prices stay the same. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Can you register and not run and walk?
You can absolutely make a donation. Just go right to the Freedom House NJ page and click on that donation button right at the top of the page. It's on every single page, so you can't miss it. And we would love support. And if there's anyone in the community that has a business or a service and would like to have a vending table there, we welcome you to give us a call at 908-617-5492. You can either ask for myself or for Tracy. Vending tables are only $20. It's very reasonable. And you'll have access to a few hundred people.
Yeah.
So we hope to see you there.
And you also, you can... we'll let you talk about that again at the end.
Okay, great.
All right, so just in case, you know, people didn't get it all written down.
That's great.
What makes Freedom House, Glenn, an outstanding organization?
Well,
aside from the fact that you're helping people, you know.
Besides that we're helping people, I think that we have, I attribute it to having a dedicated staff and board members, people working at the organization who are committed to combating the disease of addictions and mental illness. Over half of our staff, I'll say maybe 70% of our staff are alumnus of the program. Freedom House believes strongly in alumni development. We like to see our alumni, people graduate the program, go back into communities and make a difference in those communities.
Mm-hmm.
So, we were talking earlier, Larry, and we said, you know, in order to maybe tell someone what to do, if you walk the walk, then, you know, people,
right.
I mean, that's it's good in the sense that people see that the program works.
Exactly.
You know, and when you have messages out there, you have folks that have completed the program out living successful lives. It's not a recipe to work at the program. It's not necessary that you be in recovery.
Right. But right.
I think you have to have a compassion to work in this field. First of all, I can tell you that the pay is not great. You know, I mean, you know,
yeah.
but I tell you the physical dollar but I can tell you it is great in the sense that it's so very rewarding.
Exactly.
For knowing that you made a difference in a person's life. I figure if you turn a man around and or a woman around, then you save one generation saves the next generation. So it makes
it's like
a difference.
Passing it on.
It's passing it on, you know,
right.
Pay it forward. So, and that's what we teach our folks to do. So, other things is we're committed to meet the needs of the community. We put people before the numbers. You know, we're not just concerned about putting out a volume of people, or the volume of putting out people in volumes and statistics. You know, statistics are great, but we want to do well. But most important, we want to make sure that we stay very people oriented. You know,
I'm not a big fan of statistics.
No.
I feel that you can make numbers say what you want
it
to say.
It all depends on who's telling the story.
Right.
So
exactly.
We want to make sure that we stay very much people oriented. We're concerned about the person that's in
right.
in front of us. Also, we're constantly looking into our environment to the changing times. You know, we started off, we were just treating people because of our own stigma,
mm-hmm.
about alcoholism and addiction. We only treated people that had either drug and alcohol problems. So the folks that had drug and alcohol problems was over to the left, and if you had a mental illness, then we looked at you stayed over on the right, and you treat your people over here, and we'll treat ours over here. But that's changed. You know,
right.
it's co-occurring now. We treat them simultaneously, mm-hmm. treat them together. So we have to change with our times. I mean, a lot of times we have to look beyond and change our mental model, our way of thinking, of doing things, and look to do innovative things. And we've always had to do a lot with little. You know,
right.
There's been times, Larry, that we had our staff, especially after 9/11, we had to take a 10 or 15% decrease in pay in order to keep another staff person on. In other words, instead of saying we're going to lay this person off, we're all going to take a decrease in pay so we can keep the other person on until we can get to the point where we can get
back better. Up again.
Back up again. So most of the folks that I've worked with have been around for 10, 12 years. I mean, you come to Freedom House and you stay there, hopefully, either retire or one way or another.
Right.
But, you know, I think it's just so much. I can't speak enough for the staff and the board.
When you talk about your staff, all right, you say every person has a primary counselor?
Yes.
Okay. and just my own thing. Someone's in your organization. So what is their day like? What are they, you know, what happens? Sure. Say they're in your full-time home. What is the process? You know, like, all right, I obviously X amount of time you get up and have breakfast and so on. But what is the day like?
Well, I can tell you that Freedom House is a very regimented program.
Okay.
Okay, and, you know, we like to wake them up in the morning, and once their feet hit the ground about 6:30 or some 5 o'clock a.m., you don't go to bed until 10:30 at night. So what happens is you either wake up, everyone has to be downstairs whether you're working or not at 6:30 a.m.
Okay.
Those that maybe there's a van that leaves taking people to work approximately 5:15, another one leaves about 5:45. We taking folks to work throughout Hunter and Warren, and I think mainly Hunter and Warren and some Somerset County is where most of our guys work at. So you either going to work or you're staying in the house. If you stay around the house, there's chores that go on all day long. You work on your maybe some of your assignments that you have to do. You have lunch at 12 o'clock. After 12 o'clock, there's usually a group for the guys that are home. Around 6:30 p.m., everybody has to be back in the house. So those that are working and those that have done activities around the house all day long in one way or another, whether you're doing work assignments or whether you're doing volunteer work or whether you're doing physical work around the house repairs, at 6:30 p.m., we eat dinner as a whole. We eat dinner as a family. And during that time, we'll make announcements, what's going to happen the rest of the night. We'll tell them, hey, listen, you have a group at this time, or we're going to be going out to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting or a Narcotics Anonymous meeting at about 7:30 or so. They come back from the meeting, then they get themselves ready for the next day. There may be a short group prior to going upstairs just to put some information out. We call it also an emergency group where if something went wrong, you can call an emergency group. The guys come downstairs and solve whatever issues going on. So, I mean, it's very hectic schedule. I mean, you get up at 6:30 in the morning, you don't go to bed at 10:30. Your feet are always moving all the time doing something.
Now, when you, obviously the counselors, are they graduates of the program or are they specialized in the field or both?
Well, both. We have, I'll say the counseling staff now is probably about 50% are graduates of the program and 50% are not graduates. What's most important is that you know what you're doing, okay? Even if you're a graduate of the program, you have to be licensed by the state of New Jersey at some point. So and that's through the Attorney General's office. Myself, I'm a licensed clinical alcohol and drug counselor. Some people have LCADC, which is the difference between a LCADC is a licensed clinical alcohol drug counselor, or you be a CADC, which is a certified alcohol and drug counselor. The difference between the two is that one is a master's levels counselor, and one is just licensed as a certified alcohol and drug counselor. That person may have a bachelor's degree or less. So most of our staff have are credentialed. Myself, I have, like I said, the licensed clinical alcohol and drug counselor. I have a master's degree from Lincoln University, and recently I just got a master's degree from Ohio Christian University in pastoral care and counseling, and I have I'm a certified clinical supervisor, and various workshops. So most of the staff are credentials on a master's level or certified through the state of New Jersey. Some are graduates, but it doesn't matter if you're a graduate or not. What's most important is that you actually meet the criteria. So our graduates, they're not just people that's graduated and just singing in a group. They have to be licensed and credentialed through the state of New Jersey. Freedom House itself is a licensed facility. We're licensed by the Department of Addiction Services. So you have to have a license to practice, and you have to have a license. Your facility has to be licensed as well.
Well, how do you get your clients? Do the police bring them? Do they come through some other organization or, you know?
Various ways. As you know, with the heroin epidemic and even before the heroin epidemic, there's no shortage of clients. I can tell you that.
Right.
But we get referrals we get them from police department. We get referrals from drug court. We get referrals from family members. We get referrals from graduates. The court system, probation, parole, intensive supervision program, which is a program ran by the Administrative Office of the Courts. So we get referrals from all over, and a lot of referrals come from our reputation that we have throughout the state of New Jersey. So.
I know I've had the assistant prosecutor on the radio, and he is very big on not jailing someone for minor offenses.
Absolutely.
And such, and would rather see them get help and, you know, such. And so I was just curious how that worked with Freedom House.
We're not going to be able to arrest our way out of this heroin epidemic.
No.
Most of the crimes are what we call economic crimes, small amount of marijuana, people using to cope with issues and whatnot.
Right.
And we're not going to arrest our way out of it. That's the bottom line. I think that we sat on a panel at Drew University last week. We were, Freedom House was involved in a panel discussion with the sheriff from Morris County, someone from the state trooper's office, and a couple other, some doctors and some other folks. And one thing we all agreed on for sure, that we're not going to be able to arrest our way out of this situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So people deserve a chance. And
absolutely.
And I think the one of the first things that we have to do is changing the way we view addictions, addict, or people with mental illness. And that will be the first step in the right direction for anyone, because how you think about a person, place, or thing is how you're going to treat that person, place, or thing.
Right.
It has a lot to do with it.
And I know through mental illness, all you see is the person who shoots someone in a theater or in a school or whatever, and that's what gets publicized, and that's what's spread out all the time.
Yes.
What you don't see is that a person with mental illness is more apt to be the victim of a crime than the perpetrator. And that doesn't play out in the news, you know. And it's the same thing with alcohol and drugs. He's a drunk, or he's a junkie, or he's this or that or the other. And it drives me off the charts when people say things like that. And I don't hesitate to go and tell them that in there's a human being, you know.
Absolutely.
And I don't care how drunk he is or how high he is or how off he is on his mental health, he's a human being. And you should treat them like that. Yes, I mean, there's times when you have to restrain them, I agree, and, you know, there's times you have to hold them down, etc. And there's times they have to be hospitalized, I'm mm-hmm. not disputing that at all. But I am saying that there are more organizations such as yours, such as Freedom House and others, who see the person as an individual.
Absolutely.
And not as a junkie or an alcoholic. And, you know, so that's a big step, because, yeah, we may only be servicing X amount of people and there's thousands more out there, but it's a start. You know, and if we can get more organizations like yours going in various parts of the country, we stand a shot.
You know,
it's just, I think it's amazing, you know. And I think that, like every organization, you've got to have some barriers. You've got to have threats that, you know, you have. You want to speak to those?
Absolutely. Well, I want to say some of the threats or barriers. The number one on my list is going to be stigma.
It's on my list, too.
That has to be the number one, because, people, like you said, look at a person as being an alcoholic or drug addict, and that was it. Well, you know, that person had a mother, that person had a father.
Exactly.
I'm sure that person did not come into the world and just say, hey, when I grow up, I want to be a person that's addicted to substance disorder. When I grow up, I want to have this mental illness. You know, that's a person.
Yeah.
So we need to get beyond that stigma, because, you know, I know we've come a long ways. Because I know back in the day when you talked about alcoholics or drug addicts or people who had a mental illness, they were put in asylums.
Right.
You know, and why is that? Because that's what we thought about them. That was where our mindset was then. But things are changing now, slowly but surely. You know, people are starting to look at it a little bit different, but I think we have a long way to go. So stigma is definitely number one on my list. The next thing is there's some barriers for employment. Employment is a barrier. unfortunately, people who have substance use disorders and mental illness, sometimes there's a criminal background that comes along with it. Could be minor, some more than others, but that's also a barrier to get employment.
Right.
Well, people change, you know.
Sure.
People do change.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I'm a person that's been incarcerated. I'm a person that was an ex-heroin user. And, you know, I changed. The reason I changed because somebody gave me a chance. Now, how many more people out there like Glenn King that are out there that needs a chance? Well, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that I give that person a chance. I'm going to do everything I can to educate the community to make sure we right. give that person. And I can tell you, usually when you hire one of our guys, you usually come back and say, hey, listen, send me another one like it. You know,
mm-hmm.
there are some
right.
that don't do well, but that's such as life. I mean,
right.
there's people who don't use. They sometimes they don't show up from work. Sometimes they screw up. But for some reason, when
sometimes
we,
they're no good at their job exactly. either. You know?
Exactly. You know, we do good work. You know, when you put the man back together, the man feels good. Sometimes we have to start on the outside, putting the person back together. But when we put them back together and package them and clean them up, you know, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. So, but employment is one. Housing, you know, sometimes. Yeah. People don't want to rent to people who have mental illness or have addictions. But, you know, we're good landlords. I mean, we'd be good tenants.
Right.
I say landlords because there's some folks at Freedom House that went on to buy houses and rent houses and doing very well for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things with housing, we've been in Huntington County for over 30-some years. And I thank God, thus far, you don't read about Freedom House in the papers all the time and all these crazy things happening. If there's a problem, we isolate it, we deal with it, you know, with the local
right.
authorities or whatever,
right.
and move on. We've been known to have to be good neighbors. We have had a facility in Warren County, which was located on Mount Kip Road. That's almost between
mm-hmm.
Hackettstown and
right.
And Glen Gardner. We live right next door to the sheriff of Warren County. We didn't have a problem. We have a house right on Court Street. In Morris County currently, that's right next to the courthouse. We've never had a problem. In fact, the freeholders, they gave us the building. So
right.
Even in Glen Gardner, we've known to be good neighbors, you know, because
mm-hmm.
we want
sure.
our people. I'm very concerned about not only just public awareness, but the reputation that we have in the community. So I'm always trying to uphold the best image in the community
mm-hmm.
so
right.
that I don't feed into the stigma.
Right.
My boss told me once, he says, Glenn, you know what? I know people are going to say this and that about addiction. And he says, you know they're going to throw rocks at you, but guess what? You don't have to give them the rocks to throw.
Right.
So if we ran a crappy yep. program, I'm giving them the rocks to throw, and that's not what we're going to do at Freedom House. Treatment access is also a barrier. I know we're doing good in educating the public about the stigma, doing prevention work. But one of the problems that we still have is treatment access. There's not enough Freedom Houses. There's not enough facilities to treat the people. So treatment access is another barrier.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, there are some of the things that you mentioned are some of the things that other organizations face, too, you know, like NAMI.
Absolutely.
You know, stigma you know, mm-hmm. is a big thing. And finding work for people, you know. Dawn, you've been too quiet. I know you've been loving being quiet.
Save all my talking for when I'm in the office.
What can the public do to help?
Well, you know, a lot of the barriers that Glenn mentioned, you know, with employment, for one thing, you know, we have great relationships with several of the community employers, you know, like McDonald's and Dunkin' Donuts and Custom Alloy, you know, great shout out for Custom Alloy. We'd like to build more relationships with organizations like that, where we can, you know, our residents can learn different skills
right.
so that they can then, you know, become great mm-hmm. taxpayers.
Right.
You know, funding is always a barrier for, you know,
sure.
nonprofits. You know, there's never enough money really to go around. And I have to say, when we look at our expense side of it, we don't spend a lot. You know, we've learned over the 32 years to do a lot with a little. But we could do so much more if we had more money.
Sure.
So, you know, support from the community. You know, if someone's looking for, you know, a nonprofit that they really could stand behind and be a part of, or maybe someone has a, you know, small family foundation, or they know of a foundation, or they work for a company that does a match, or their company has a foundation, right. You know, reach out to us. You know, I'd love to sit down and talk to you one-to-one, give you a tour of what Freedom House does so you can see firsthand. You know, our residents love to volunteer. You know, it's they want to give back. They've been given a second chance at life.
They're always looking for volunteers at the hospital. I volunteer at the hospital on Fridays, and they're always looking for volunteers.
Yep. And our residents are not afraid to work. I mean, especially manual labor. You know, right. We worked on the big build right. here with the Hunterdon County United Way, and they right. had a great time doing that, you know, cleaning up, building things. So, you know, it's another way. Help put us in touch with organizations or projects, okay. special projects right. that are going on.
I understand that you brought a couple testimonials.
I did.
Would you like to just briefly read them?
I would love to. So I have two testimonials here. The first one is from a graduate of our program, and these are in his words.
Mm-hmm.
All too often, we hear the story of how someone turns to heroin after becoming addicted to prescription drugs. We never think that one day we might be that person. Thankfully for me, I found Freedom House before going down that desolate road. My journey began at the age of 31, after having back surgery. My doctor prescribed opioids to manage the pain. A year and a half later, when I could no longer get a prescription from my doctor, I turned to buying them illegally. I quickly turned to criminal activity to fund my addiction. Through all this, I became divorced and my family relationships were crumbling. There I stood facing sentencing through my county drug court system. A recommendation to the drug court was to allow me to attend Freedom House. And thanks to Freedom House, on March 13th of this year, I celebrated 1 year of sobriety. Their programs are structured to fit the individual needs of the client. I began my road to recovery by attending the Halfway House program and progressed at a pace that helped me to be successful in my sobriety. The treatment did not end there. Once I completed the Halfway House program, I stepped down to the outpatient program. This continuum of care has helped me develop support systems, establish a professional career, and learn how to deal with my chronic pain without medication. Freedom House has taught me how to be responsible and accountable for daily living. My relationships with family have grown stronger as I reestablish their trust. I am a productive member of society, and I give back by helping others. Without Freedom House, I would have remained in active addiction. I am convinced I would have turned to heroin and eventually ended up a statistic. Thanks to Freedom House, sobriety is my priority. I focus on doing what is right and continue my spiritual journey in life.
It's awesome.
The next short testimonial is actually from a mom. Being a mother of a graduate from Freedom House, I hold Freedom House close to my heart and will be forever grateful for their continued dedication to saving lives and reuniting families. My son, who fell to the lowest of addiction, was able to rebuild his life with the assistance of devoted counselors and the support of the Freedom House family. They renewed faith in believing in himself, opened doors, and gave life to what once seemed impossible. It didn't come easy and was hard work for my son, who diligently worked at being a new person. With counseling tools provided, the Freedom House program enabled a new path, an understanding of what addiction was and how to move forward. It also reunited a splintered family, which bonded and rebuilt new paths. Today, my son has a beautiful family and has completed education, which allows him to give back to his community as a drug and alcohol counselor. I'm filled with much gratitude, for without Freedom House in our lives, there would be no life.
That's awesome. Thank you for reading that.
Oh, you're
we're
welcome.
We've been out of time a minute ago, but that's that's okay. Would you real quickly
go
on May 13th.
May 13th, Spruce Run. Go to www.freedomhousenj.org to sign up for our 5K. We hope to see you there.
Phone number?
908-617-5492.
Lynn, do you have anything real quick at the end here?
No, I appreciate you giving us the opportunity to come out. And
well, you'll have to come back.
We'll definitely come back.
No, you'll
we'll have to come back.
You know? Bring Talkative along with you. We can't thank you enough. And folks, if there's anything out there that you can do to help Freedom House, I strongly suggest you do it. They're a great organization, and they help a lot of people. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter. We'll see you next week.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer family-to-family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member.